In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to his holy name, now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. First, I would like to thank God from the depths of my heart for allowing me to be with you here in this blessed church with my beloved Father Abuna Yunan. In these holy days in which we commemorate and celebrate the fast and the feast of Saint Mary, our Blessed Mother of God, it is a great opportunity. I am glad to be with you all here, and I need your prayers that God, through His Holy Spirit, will give us a word when you open our mouth for the comfort and consolation of our hearts. As you heard from Abuna, and as you heard through the passing almost 1 week, you are talking about faith, which is very important, and we all need it. This is one of the greatest virtues. If you know what St. Paul said about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, when he said, "Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest is love," of course. So faith, hope, and love. Faith and hope are related to each other, greatly related to each other. Even when we talk about the definition of faith, just a quick review before we start today's topic. What is the best definition of faith? The best and simplest definition of faith, of course you heard about it through this revival, is in Hebrews 11, chapter verse 1, when St. Paul said, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen." Very simple, and very clear, and very strong. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Here is the relationship between faith and hope. And the evidence of things unseen. So when we talk about faith, we are talking about the unseen world. We are talking about another level, another scope, completely different than the scope we used to live in this world, physical, tangible, temporal scope and dimensions and understanding, completely different. It's not against the mind or against anything. It is above, incomprehensible, above our minds and our understanding. This is the area we are talking about, the scope we are living in when we talk about faith. Hope for things unseen. Of course, because you know, the unseen things are temporal, as St. Paul also said. The seen things are temporal, while the unseen things are eternal. When we talk about faith, when we live in faith, we are living in eternity. We are not living in this world, we are not following the rules of this world. So this is the scope we are talking about when we talk about faith. It's very important. It is very important and very essential and fundamental for our spiritual growth and our relationship with God. It's enough that Christ said, "Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will get it." Whatever you ask. Through this faith, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible through faith. Nothing is impossible. As St. Paul said also in Philippians 3, "I can do everything in Christ Jesus our Lord who strengthens me." This is faith. This is faith. This is what we are talking about. And without this faith, no one can please God. As St. Paul also said in the same chapter you are studying in this revival, Hebrews 11, chapter verse 6. Without faith, no one can please God. So we have to know how important is faith. Of course, without faith, there is nothing. And by the way, you are not talking here about the dogmatic faith, some dogmas which we believe in theoretically. No, we are talking about the practical faith, the living faith, you know, how we enjoy this faith and live it and experience it and exercise it in our life. That's what we are talking about. St. Paul also said about how important in faith when he said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." As believers in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have to walk by faith, not by sight. This is in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter verse 7. We walk in faith or by faith, not by sight. And of course, this reminds you with what Christ said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believed." As we talked, faith is the evidence of things unseen. We are talking about the unseen things, the heavenly things, the eternal things, the divine things. To know how strong is faith and how important it is in accomplishing all what we need, we have to remember also what Christ said to Martha before raising Lazarus, when he said to her, "Didn't I say to you, if you believe, you will see God's wonders? If you believe, you will see God's wonders." Above all the understanding, against all the odds, you know, faith works against all the odds. All the human understanding and perceptions and dimensions. Something very, very superior what we are talking about in this revival, of course. Of course, you heard also, and we just read this gospel a few days ago about Christ when he said to his disciples, "If you have faith like a mustard seed, a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to here, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." If we have faith, nothing will be impossible for us, as we will see in today's example about Sarah. We need to ask God that He increase and strengthen our faith, just as the disciples said to Him before He said this verse to them. And this also, by the way, happened after the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we are going to celebrate this coming Wednesday, the Feast of Transfiguration, one of the minor feasts of the Lord, seven minor feasts of the Lord. While Christ was transfiguring before Moses and Elijah and his disciples, the three disciples, there was a man down the mountain with a son possessed by evil spirits. And he presented his son to the disciples to cast these evil spirits from him. And they didn't. They were not able to do that. So when Christ came down from the Transfiguration Mountain, the father of this possessed son went to him and said, "Your disciples couldn't get this demon out of him. Can you do something to help us? If you do something..." So Christ said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." All things are possible to him who believes. And this father was very smart and very humble. Immediately he said to Christ, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." We have to all to say this verse to Christ. We know how important is faith, and how faith avails a lot, and how can we get everything through faith. Please help our unbelief. You see the paradox here in this statement. Master or Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. How come belief and unbelief at the same time? This is, he's talking on behalf of all of us. We know, but we need to experience and exercise this knowledge that we know. I believe, help my unbelief. So this is about how important is faith, one of the greatest virtues, and through which alone we can please God. And of course, you know, the chapter of faith in the Bible is Hebrews 11. The whole chapter is about faith. And it is a very inspired idea to take this chapter as the substance of this revival through these 2 weeks, faith. And of course, by the way, the last session will be about Saint Mary as the icon of faith, is the best example of faith. We are in her fast now, and we'll celebrate this feast a few days later. She is the ideal example of faith. We're going to talk about Sarah, who gave birth in old age. She was 90 years old. How about Saint Mary, who gave birth without the seed of man, against all the odds, against all understanding, something which never happened before and will never happen after, compared to Sarah. Something above all understanding. And we have to put in our mind, at that time she was around 14 something years old, very little, you know, a girl living for God, dedicating her life for God. And after she questioned about one thing, she submitted completely to God in absolute faith when she said to the angel, "Behold, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your words." Let it be according to your word. This is faith and submission. She submitted completely to the will of God in her life. The best example, the icon of faith. Chapter 11 from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews starts by the definition of faith, which we talked about. And then he went to mention some 5 examples of faith. This is the first part. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. And then a paragraph to speak about those who believed and did not enjoy the promises, and he lived as sojourners in this world. And then he went again to mention some other examples of faith. Another 5 persons and 3 incidents. The 5 persons in the second part are Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Rahab. And 3 important incidents as an example of faith also. Offering of Isaac, you will talk about that, of course. Crossing the Red Sea and falling of the walls of Jericho. And then he talked about some other examples of faith, just names. He mentioned the names of 5 of the judges of Israel. So in the first part, 5 examples, then 5 another examples, 3 incidents, and then 5 names or 5 judges of Israel: Gideon, Barak, Samson, Yaftah, and Samuel, the last judge, and finally David, and mentioned generally the prophets. Lastly, St. Paul in this chapter, he talked about how strong is that faith. And this is a very important part and related to today's subject. Faith strengthens our weaknesses, or strengthens us in our weaknesses. So faith is very important to strengthen our weaknesses. We can read this part, the last part of this chapter first, because it is related also to the point how faith is important. He talked about all these icons of faith, all these examples of faith, and said, who through faith subdued kingdoms. See the strength of faith here. While you are weak and helpless, through faith we can subdue even kingdoms. You know, the Roman Empire, how strong was it? The Christianity, through the faith of the apostles and their successors, were able to subdue this kingdom and transform it into a Christian kingdom, not by war, not by sword, but by faith, but living the true Christian faith. Subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. He's referring here to another example in the Old Testament, of course. Who was able to stop the mouth of lions? Who did that? Who was able to stop the mouth of the lions? Mean later he said the foil is sued. قصد يتفكرنا بمين؟ دانيال اللي كان أقوى من الأسود through faith. Quenched violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. All of this about our strength. Out of weaknesses were made strong. This is the exact verse. Out of weaknesses they were made strong through faith. Faith strengthens us in our weaknesses. Were made strong, became violent, valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and their women received their dead raised to life again. He's referring here to the widow of Zarephath of Sidon when Elijah raised his son from the dead. She received her son back through her faith in the man of God, Elijah, the prophet. So faith is stronger than death. Faith is stronger than the lions. Faith is stronger than the fire. Of course, we remember all the story of the, or the incident, or the episode of the three young men in the fiery furnace. You remember the story? How they walked as if they are walking in paradise, enjoying the company of the Son of God, while the fire burned those who threw them into it, burned them completely. She didn't hurt even their garments. They didn't smell burnt even after they got out of the fire, because they were in company with the Son of God. The fourth looked like the Son of God. So this is the strength of faith, which concluded this chapter. Now we go to our part, which is Hebrews 11:11. Of course, a very easy way to remember some verses. We talked now today about 1 Corinthians 7:7, 1 Corinthians 13:13. You can remember also 2 Corinthians 5:5. You can remember also here Hebrews 11:11 about Sarah. We'll read this passage and see how can we benefit from this episode. Sarah giving birth while she was 90 years old, against all the odds, against all the natural law. And by the way, I don't know if you are watching the following the news or not. A month or so ago, a woman over 60, it was 62 years old, she didn't say her age to the physician who dealt with her case. She was eager to carry a baby after that age and went to one of the fertility doctors. And he did some work with her and she gave birth. But after less than 2 years, she died. 30. While Sarah was 90 years old. So scientifically, and now we are talking about the 21st century, not about the days of Sarah. Of course, there was no OBGYN or fertility doctors at that time. She didn't do any of these things. So Sarah gave birth against all the natural laws, against all the odds. through faith. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength. Faith strengthening us in our weaknesses to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past time. She was way past time, as we said. If the fertility period for the woman goes to 50, if we say, she was almost double this age, almost double this age, and she gave birth. It was something unbelievable. Actually, it was something laughable, as we will see in the story of Sarah. Abraham left, and she left twice. And even after she gave birth to the child, she said a verse also about laughing. It was something very unusual, very unusual. So this is the part about Sarah, and he continued to say she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And then he continues in verse 12, therefore from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the sea shore. Out of a dead womb came this number of descendants. I will make, as God promised Abraham, I will make your descendants as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. Out of a dead womb. See how strong is faith. Weakness, just like dead, as we will see in some verses. She's considering himself dead, but God did these wonders with her. The story of Sarah, in brief, was mentioned, and his birth was mentioned in the book of Genesis, of course, in some verses of chapters 17, 18, and 21. Chapters 17, 18, and 21. Briefly, you can reflect on these parts to see how great was this miracle against all the odds, as an example of faith strengthening our weaknesses. If you go to Genesis 17, starting from verse 15, when God said to Abraham, Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, she will be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of peoples shall be from her. This is the promise of God, said to Abraham. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. You notice the word laughed will be repeated four times in this episode. Abraham himself, the father of faith, fell on his face and laughed. Something laughable, something incomprehended, uncomprehended, impossible. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? I am 100, Abraham at that time was 100 years old. Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? How could this be? This is laughable. Is this true? Is this serious? Are you talking serious here? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. I have Ishmael, I am satisfied with him. Don't do this to me. Don't promise me with that. Then God said to Abraham, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. This is God's promise. Because if you remember, faith is to believe in God's promises. This is a promise, something which surpasses all our understanding. But God said that we have to believe in that. You know, it is the substance of the things hoped for. When we talk about faith, these days you might be asked, what is your evidence? Can we test that? We need something tangible, we need something to see, something to touch. No, faith does not work this way. Does not work this way. Either you take it or leave it. You can't put it under test. You can't touch it. You can't prove it reasonably and rationally. No, it is above all of this. Not against, but above all of this. So they believed in God's promises. And this is another important point: to receive the blessings of faith, you have to believe in God's promises, as we said before. So here Abraham left and didn't believe, but of course later he believed God's promise. The second reference about that is Genesis 18. Starting with verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, passed it way long. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Her Lord, of course, who was her Lord? Sarah was talking about here, about who? My Lord. Her husband. She's not talking about God, she's talking about her husband, Abraham, her Lord. You remember in the wedding ceremony, as Sarah obeyed Abraham and used to address him, my Lord. Things which our lady sometimes got offended with it. But this is a fact. Here again, she's saying to God, I am well advanced in age, and my husband, or my Lord, is also well advanced in age. After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Do you know when this happened? When God appeared to Abraham, there was three men. One of them was the Son of God, and the other two angels. And God was promising Abraham that her Sarah will be with a child in the next year, the same time next year. Sarah was in the tent. She heard this and she laughed. Impossible. Just as her husband before Abraham laughed. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, St. Paul said the nice verse about appointed time in Acts 17 in Areopagus in Athens. God is the one who determined the appointed times. In the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and after a year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh. For she was afraid, and she said, no, but you have laughed. You did laugh. See how many times the word laugh is repeated in this episode. Something laughable, impossible, unbelievable, whatever you can say, however you describe it. But with God, nothing is impossible. You know, in Luke chapter 1, when the Archangel Gabriel appeared to St. Mary, and said to her, you will have a child and you will name him Jesus because he will save his people, and etc. And after that he said, and behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, is with a child, and because nothing is impossible with God. The same thing here. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, so she laughed at it. And then in chapter 21, when she gave birth already to this child, she said something related to laughing also. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. At the set time of which God has spoken to him, God is honest in all promises. He do good on all his promises. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised him and made a feast during his circumcision. And Sarah also said, thus did the Lord for me. He gave her something that she would never imagine or ask it for. So these are the, this chapter also in Sarah said, whoever will hear that will laugh about it. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. And Abraham, and he who hears will laugh. So God made me laugh, and he who hears will laugh. Faith strengthen us in our weak. She laughed, and those who will hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. This is the incident how mentioned or recorded in the book of Genesis. And about it also, St. Paul commented in his epistle to Romans chapter 4. This another part, if you would like to read about Abraham's faith and Sarah's faith, you have to go to Romans 4 to complement your studying in Hebrews 11. You have to go to Romans chapter 4. Believing in God's promises to enjoy God's wonders in your life. Not being weak in faith is very nice. A verse also about faith strengthening our weaknesses. Said about Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead, since he was about 100 years old, already dead. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, her womb was dead. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Believing in God's promises. By the way, God loves this idea to remind him with promises. He loves you and you say to him, you said that in your Bible. Now I need to see it in my life. You need to experience this in your life, in my life. You said it, you promised. And God is always faithful, even if we are unfaithful, as St. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Even if we are faithless, he alone remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. You have to hold fast in these promises. God is always faithful, even if we are, most of the case, we are unfaithful. But God alone will remain faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny that we are his children. He has to do something for us in our weaknesses. You know, God is always faithful because he had promised he was also able to perform. There's another important point in faith, the promise of God, and how God always do good in his promises. As St. Paul said in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. God promised he will do it for sure. What is the proof of that? The only proof we had, the only evidence we have is faith. The only substance we have is faith. We believe in His word, we believe in His love, we believe in His mercy. And through this faith, we can get whatever we need from Him. Whatever promise is able, Aidan, is able also to perform. Another very nice verse about hope, which is related to faith. Do you know this anchor or help for the big ships, to help the ship rest by the pier or the shore, the seashore, and stay attached to this shore? St. Paul used this imagery or this analogy about faith also in chapter 10, verse 23, and a very nice analogy. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. No, this is actually in Hebrews 6. We read before Hebrews 10, now we go to Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Hope and faith will enter with us to the heaven behind the veil, where Christ entered as a forerunner for us, as an example for us. See how great is faith and what wonders we will enjoy if we live in this faith. We need, all of us, we need to enjoy this kind of God's promises and God's wonders. But we have to have this kind of faith in order to enjoy these wonders of God. Didn't I say to you, if you believe, you will see God's wonders? And our response should be, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Glory be to God forever. Amen.